From downtown Milwaukee, welcome to Money Talk with Bob Landis. Each week, professional advisors from Landis & Company Investments discuss the latest financial developments, offering timely insight and long-term perspective.
This is Money Talk for November 15th, 2019. Well, the Christmas season is here. The Salvation Army Red Kettle campaign kicks off today. Mannheim Steamrollers at the Riverside Saturday, and the Chris Kindle Market is up and running at the Fiserv Forum Plaza. The Packers have a day off, actually they have a weekend off, and the Bucks are back home with the Trailblazers this Thursday. Here's a story that most of us can appreciate. A Florida man is suing Madonna because her Las Vegas show scheduled for 10 didn't start until after 11. His complaint is, that's an unreasonable time to start a show for mature fans. Yep, we're the same mature people that used to stand and dance for the whole concert, and today we're yelling at those young whippersnappers to sit down because we paid a lot for these tickets. And it's an election year. One of the major talking points is teacher salaries. One teacher with a great sense of humor posted a parent-teacher conference menu for his students. It reads, if you would like me to, tell your parents you're a pleasure to have in class. That'll be a dollar. If you would like me to tell your parents you're always on time, that'll be $2. If you would like me to tell your parents, I wish all my students were like you, that's $5. And finally, if you would like me to tell your parents I'd like to adopt you, that's $10. This guy deserves a raise. In the studio today, we have Kyle Tedding, Dave Sandstrom, Tom Papenfuss, Joel Dreesang. And wrapping up the week, here's Bob Landis.
So I'm trying to do the math, Max. It sounds like it's well worth $18 to be all in and have the teacher just praise you. That's a deal for $18.
The teachers need all the help they can get.
Well, Max, we made a couple of nickels this week. NASDAQ rose 0.8%, climbing 66 points today to close at 85.41. NASDAQ's up a stellar 29.8% for the year. S&P 500 up 0.9%, adding 27 points. To close at 31.20. Dow Jones Industrial Average added 324 points, a 1.2% rise, up now 22.3% for the year. The Dow closed the week above 28,000, first time close, 28,005 points. You know, Kyle, the market's had a pretty good run the last 5 weeks. You have to question how much progress have they really made on the trade front. The market started rallying 5 weeks ago just because they said, we're talking again. That doesn't mean you got a deal. That doesn't mean it's signed. That doesn't mean it's approved. But just on the strength of, okay, we're talking, and potentially we're going to defer tariffs. Then the president said recently that, no, I'm not real sure I'm going to delay any tariffs. And you know, from my perch, it's just as about confusing as it's ever been. But back to the basics, earnings look pretty decent for next year, up over 10%. And as I've been saying for a while now, they get anywhere close to that, we should do pretty good.
Yeah, and let's not forget that even those tariff talks that we seem to be having now, or that we're talking about having now, talking about talks seems kind of silly, but that's, I think, where we are right now. It's not about doing away with the stuff that's already on the books. Right now, we're just trying to stop the escalation of the trade war. And so, you know, I think the uncertainties that are out there aren't going to go away anytime soon. And I think you rightfully point out that 10% number. You know, if we see 10% earnings next year, keep in mind that's with these analysts now starting to understand that there are going to be implications to this trade war. They're starting to price in, okay, here's what's on the books right now for trade. What's the impact going to be on S&P 500 earnings next year? And so it's not like 6 months or a year ago where we were still trying to digest what the impact was going to be. Now that 10% really does factor in at least what's on the books so far. And so if we do get a ceasefire for a little while in these trade wars, if we do get a pause at least in some of the escalation that's been going on, I think that 10% number is pretty realistic. And while stocks are maybe a little overvalued right now based on that 10%, certainly not so far overvalued that you'd have to see some kind of correction. Maybe just a little bit of a pause from the high rate of growth that we've seen.
Kyle, I heard a perfect story that encapsulates the problems with the trade conflicts from a client today. They were talking about recycling and how we used to send a lot of our recycling to China, and they're not taking it right now. But nobody in the United States wants to build recycling centers because they haven't the foggiest idea if China's going to go back to the recycling business or not. And so we're at this standstill. You know, think about, number one, recycling is a fairly large industry. Number two, just the crazy uncertainty of it. And it affects everybody. Nobody in their right mind would build a recycling center now, not knowing for sure whether China's going to go back to the scrap business or not. Pretty interesting direct, industry that's been affected.
Yeah, it's such an important anecdote, Bob, because you look at what businesses are doing right now with cash. They're not investing in new property, plant, and equipment. Yeah, maybe we got a little bit of wage growth. Maybe we have some hiring that's taken place. But, you know, some of those bigger dollar spends that could drive another phase of this economic recovery could help the expansion a little bit. We just haven't seen that yet. And so, you know, I think you talk about the 10% earnings number, and that's maybe, if everything is kind of where it is right now. But I think the one thing we sometimes forget is there is some potential upside if we get some resolution. And certainly, that's as likely right now as it is to go the other way and see continued issues, see continued tariffs come out. And so, you know, I don't want to completely discount the potential for things to get better here either.
Dave, let me bring you into the show. As you know, the yield curve is back to normal now after inverting a couple of times in the spring. The 10-year's gone from 1.5 to 1.8 since the beginning of September. Pretty good move. The fact that the yield curve is back to normal, you know, of course, the Fed cut rates 3 times. That helped bring it back to normal. But you got to be encouraged by the normal look of the slope of the curve right now.
Bob, definitely. I think I also think it kind of points back a little bit, and you know, there were concerns obviously that this is a precursor to recession anytime you see the yield curve invert. But when you see how fast it regained its normal shape once the Fed cut rates, kind of obvious at that point that, you know, what really caused that inversion was their aggressive tightening the year before, where they raised rates several times. And that's really what caused that to invert. So maybe a little less of the collective thought process of the investing community that we're facing recession and more about the Fed's reaction and action to lowering rates.
Well, and Dave, a handful of us had an opportunity to go hear the president of the Minneapolis Fed, Neel Kashkari, speak this week. And incredibly interesting to hear the things that he pointed to as the reason why the correct, you know, they call it the neutral rate. What's the correct policy setting rate for keeping inflation at 2% and keeping employment at the level of full employment? And he really is defending, I think, what the Fed has done by saying, look, without exactly the things we've talked about in the past, without population growth and without productivity growth, you don't have the kind of demand that would spur inflation. And so absolutely supporting what the Fed did, absolutely supporting that the way to get a more normal rate policy wasn't to hope that the 10-year would rise, wasn't to hope that longer-term rates were going to rise. The Fed had to do something to normalize policy. And so that's why you saw the Fed make those 3 cuts they did. And I think the markets responded favorably to those cuts. You look the past 5 weeks, maybe gotten a little bit ahead of ourselves there, but and I think the market sees that as a sign that the Fed is going to do what it takes to keep inflation at bay, of course, but more importantly, to keep employment where it is.
I think it might continue to point to, Kyle, would be the fact that we might see rates maintain some consistency going forward here, and the Fed maybe taking that more neutral stance here and maybe letting it stick for a while.
Tom, I got asked by a client recently, Bob, don't you think times are really crazy now, more than normal? I thought long and hard before I answered the question. I told the gentleman that it seems like it's always something. You know, it's either Greece going under, or you have problems with the European banks, or you have a slowdown in China, or you have an impeachment of somebody. And that, as you fully know, the markets mostly respond to earnings. And so much of our economy is driven by consumer spending, and unemployment's at a 50-year low. That number's not going to change. Government spending's not going to change. Sure, on the margins, business spending is slowing. Manufacturing's in a recession now. But overall, I think it's going to get harder to screw this up, assuming that consumer spending stays strong.
Yeah, I agree completely with that. I don't think now's not a time when you want to get overly defensive. Kind of what we've talked about before with the Fed's more accommodative policy, you don't want to fight the Fed. And it's important not to completely lose all abandon and be completely aggressive right now, but it also doesn't make a lot of sense to be really defensive. And I think that's certainly showing up in the performance you're seeing here. And also, I think, you know, taking, you know, a much bigger global look at things, possibly in response to, you know, as we've talked about with China and the trade war difficulties, we're starting to see, you know, in the recent budget outputs of other countries in the Eurozone, they're all taking a more accommodative stance as well. And they believe that that will now add again to you know, their GDP growth forecasts. And although they're coming from a low number, again, we're trying to get past this, you know, idea of uncertainty, and anything that's optimistic right now, obviously we're gobbling up.
Joel, let's bring you into the show. You had a plethora of economic data points this week.
Yeah, Bob, and some of them illustrate what you were just talking about, the fact that we're in manufacturing recession right now. We had numbers today from the Fed that showed that industrial production went down for the second month in a row. It's the third time in 4 months. But as you pointed out at the client seminar in September, you know, manufacturing isn't that big of a deal anymore as far as our economy and the bigger picture of things.
It's only still 11%.
It's still important, but it's a lot less important than it used to be. The more important things are the consumer spending. And we had numbers today from the Commerce Department on retail sales, and those are still pretty healthy. In fact, if you take the last 3 months and compare them to the 3 months before that, you can see that consumers are getting more confident. And part of that is, again, as you said, employment's so strong. We've got the unemployment insurance claims, and we look at those every week and look at the four-week average to sort of smooth them out. And those have been below the 52-year average every week for the last 6 years. It's a long time, and we're hovering around 50-year lows for unemployment. So those are the sorts of things that encourage consumers to spend money, and the report today on retail spending actually looks kind of encouraging for the holidays, in part because consumers aren't spending a lot. They're pretty steady at their spending, so they're you know, holding back a little bit, which is good because they've got some in reserve, and you know, maybe it's some caution on their part, but we know that they still have money to spend.
Kyle, back to you. As you know, the global economy continues to slow. We learned this week that Germany is growing at just 0.3% for their GDP. Japan's slightly worse. They're just growing at 0.2%. So you see the impact of the slowdown in China. You know, it's really spreading. And it forces me to remind everybody that, you know, the U.S. is a closed society. Only 12% of our GDP is exports. We mostly sell to each other, compared to Germany at 48%, Japan 20% of their GDP is exports. So we're not immune, we're not isolated, but as I'm fond of saying, we've never had a recession in the U.S. that started overseas. Doesn't mean we can or won't, but it's never happened.
And I think you look at countries like Germany, you look at countries like Japan, or just maybe the European region, European zone more broadly, and they have far greater demographic issues than we have here as well. And so the things that could drive growth, population growing, you know, faster than, you know, maybe zero for what you get in a lot of Japan or the European Union, would certainly help that number. And as a result, when Japan faces threats from China or the Eurozone faces threats from China, they're coming from a lower GDP growth number to begin with. And so I think it becomes a more obvious impact on those numbers. And the other side of that is, as Tom mentioned, what's going on with the European Central Bank, the Bank of Japan. They've been as accommodative as they can possibly be for the most part. And yet You know, it wasn't to get growth up to 2.5% or 3% like we keep hoping for here. It was just to keep growth positive. And so I think, you know, good to see at least that they're getting it now. The European Union, European Central Bank was, I think, pretty behind the curve when it came to the Great Recession in terms of getting accommodative policy on the table. But at least now the past 5 or 6 years, they've understood that it's necessary. And I think it incredibly interesting to watch develop what happens with these tariffs, what that means for the growth of the European Union, what that means for the growth of Japan. But I think the long-term reality is they have some other issues, the demographic issues in particular, and some higher debt levels in a lot of those countries. So incredible amounts of opportunity there. Certainly a lot of really great businesses that we look to, but at the same time, those countries more broadly have some challenges.
Dave, any final thoughts here?
Just a quick comment, Bob, on bonds. I think that with the markets soaring like they have this year, you know, a lot of clients are talking about the flashy returns in their stock portfolio, but it's really been quite a year for bond returns, and kind of a perfect storm with some fear at the beginning of the year where we saw a lot of people fly to safety and buy treasuries, and then we had the Fed cut rates, a lot of support from international buyers, and we've seen phenomenal returns in our bond portfolios this year. So another reason why that balance can pay off during times like this.
Tom, what about you? What are you telling clients as we head towards the end of the year?
Well, I think right now is just to, you know, I'm largely telling people to stick to your current allocations. I mean, we want to diversify. We're taking a little bit more of some defensive positions, not so much that we're overweighting, but just, you know, really preaching diversification right now more than anything across all the equity sectors. And
best way to reduce risk. Well, folks, that's the end of yet another Money Talk. Thanks for listening to our program, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Bob Landis. If you have a financial question you want answered on next week's show, email it to moneytalk@landis.com. To keep informed throughout the week, visit our Money Talk page at landis.com.